Good morning. May the peace of God be with us all. Amen. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to everyone that has come out this morning to worship together with us, to praise our God, and to fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you're visitors here this morning, you are heartily welcome. As brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus is honored when we gather for him and want to praise him and worship him. The sign behind me says, "Blessed is the man." Blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. This morning, each one of you walked through a door to get in here. I don't think any of you came into here without going through the door. In John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, he says, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Why did you come through that door this morning? Did you come through that door to fill a spot in the pew, or did you come through that door to hear the word of God and to apply it to our lives? I often get, well, not often, but sometimes after the end of a service, I get approached by people and say, "That was an excellent service." And then sometimes I ask, "So what are you going to do with it?" So what are we going to do with the Word of God today? How many of you remember what was talked about last Sunday? Did you apply any of it? Did you learn something? This morning we want to look at the door. First of all, Jesus says, "I am the door." He's the only door that will give us salvation. There is no other door. When you ever have the opportunity, go to see the ark that was built by man as a replica of what the Bible talks about. And then go to the place where the door is that was shut when it started to rain. That door represents Jesus Christ. If we haven't gone through that door, we're lost. We're on our way to hell. And if our door to our heart is still closed, locked to God's word, even though we may be sitting in the pews this morning, but if our door is still locked to the word of God and we don't apply it, where are we heading? So this morning we want to talk about an open door policy. Is our door open? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you for this beautiful morning. We want to thank you for the opportunity to gather as brothers and sisters in Christ and to look into your word. We want to thank you for your great blessings that you pour upon us every single day. Not just material blessings, but the blessing of knowing that we have eternal life, the ones that you have walked through our door, and we have walked through your door, and now we fellowship one with another, and we follow your word. We praise you for your opportunity that we have this opportunity to gather. And we don't have to be afraid of being persecuted or stopped because of the freedom that we have in this country. And we praise you for that. We pray that you will be with each one that has come this morning, that our door will be open. And if our door has never been opened before, that we will unlock it this morning. And we will open it just to see what will happen. And may your spirit move this morning from one pew to the next, from one person to the next, and to enlighten us, to give us hope, to give us encouragement. Because if you look into the world, it's a dark world, but you have given us light. You have also told us in Scripture that you are the light of the world. And we pray this morning that each one has come prayerfully. We have prepared ourselves. And it's not just that the preacher is supposed to do all the work, but that we have prepared ourselves to absorb and to listen and to hear the Word of God and to keep it. We pray that you will guide us with your Spirit. We pray for the ones that cannot be here because of illnesses or different things in their lives, that you will touch them in a special way, that they may feel your presence, that they will feel the Spirit move within them, that they may feel that you are carrying them through the circumstances, not necessarily taking the circumstances away, but giving them strength to withstand them and to walk through them. We pray for our governments, that they will look to you instead of looking to different areas in the world to try to fix the land that is so broken, and it is all because of sin and turning away from you, that they will notice and realize that they need to turn back to the Bible so that our land may be healed and we can be that light that we started off to be many, many years ago when this land was founded on the book that we call the Bible. We pray a blessing upon this morning. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
From the Red Book, number 31, Can We That Love the Lord? Number 31. Walk the
so sweet to trust in Jesus. 264.
So sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know that saves the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more.
So I'll read John chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 one more time. It says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And then the first part of verse 10, it tells us what it is if our door is still closed. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And then Jesus says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. So if we're, like I said, if we have our door still closed and it's locked, we're heading to hell and we're worshiping Satan. We're going after what Satan wants us to do, and that leads to destruction. But when we have our door open, Jesus is the door to salvation, like I said already. He is the door to salvation, and we have a door in our heart or in our soul that we have the option to open or to close. We can accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, or we can close that door and just follow our fleshly desires. So do we have an open door to Jesus? And what does that mean? That means, come on in. Make yourself at home. That's what that means. Does Jesus have full access to us? Have we surrendered our total being to Jesus Christ? Because with our heart open, he enters in. We walk with him. We talk with him. We learn of him. And we become like him. That's an open door policy. When he has full access to our life. So what does life look like when we have our heart's door open to Christ 24/7? Does it mean that our life will be easy? It'll be just smooth ride all the way? Absolutely not. But the fellowship we have with our Jesus and the blessings that are waiting for us spiritually and physically, they will come. Maybe not the way we would want them to, but he will bless us with a life of peace, of joy, and contentment. If you look into the world today, there's very few content people. They're always looking over the fence for something better. They're looking for different churches to kind of cater to what they would like to believe or what they think should be right. So they go to different churches, one after another, until they find that there is no perfect church in the world. Somebody said to me a while back, this person was looking for a perfect church, and then he had said to him, well, once you find it, it won't be perfect anymore because you're there. And that's who we are. We're not perfect. So how do we expect to find this perfect church? So this morning when we had the opening prayer, I prayed that each one of you would have prepared yourself for God's word. Why is that important? How many of you, when there are farmers around here, how many of you in spring, you just put your seed in your air seeder and you go onto the field and you put the seed in the ground and you leave it alone and you don't go back and you don't prepare anything, you don't put any fertilizer down, you don't spray it, you just put it on there and you're done. I don't think anybody. Or you women with your gardens, how many of you like the ground tilled before you actually put the seed in there? That's the same with our soul. We need to prepare ourselves to absorb, to get the seed that is going to flow so that when the seed enters into us, that it has somewhere to take root, to grow, so that you can remember, what did I hear on Sunday? It's not just another hour of listening to somebody and then we walk out the door and right after lunch somebody asks us, so what was your service about? I don't know. Weren't we there? Yeah. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, this is often used when we're talking missions. But I think it applies to each and every one of us every single day of our lives. Malachi 3, verse 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Open your door. Open your door to your heart, to your soul, so that Jesus can enter in. Bring me your life. This morning in the German service, we heard that we're supposed to be this living sacrifice. Have we sacrificed our will, our life to Jesus Christ? Can he do with us as he wants, like he says in Isaiah? He is the potter and we are the clay. Have we given ourselves? Have we put ourselves on the potter's wheel? That's what this kind of refers to here. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me how now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. How many of you are blessed this morning? How many of you have enough to eat? How many of you have more clothes than you can wear in 1 week? How many of you have enough food in your house that you cannot finish in a week? How many of you have enough money in your bank account that you could last a whole month without getting a paycheck? Are we blessed? Absolutely. How much are we giving in return to Christ? How much of our life consists of worshiping our God? How much of our life do we spend thinking about Jesus? I see in the bulletin, and it's been in here for probably a month, that they need people to work in the sound booth, they need people to teach Sunday school, and we have time for all the other stuff. We have time to go camping, we have time to go on vacations, we have time to go to hockey games and baseball games and all these different things, but we don't have time to serve our God. Why? Because our door isn't all the way open. There's just a crack. Have you ever gone to a door, you knocked on the door, and somebody opens the door just a little bit? They will not invite you in? Is that what we're doing to our Jesus? We say we've walked through his door, but we don't want him in our door. Because it cramps our style. He wants to pour out these blessings to us. As we fully give of ourselves and the resources he has given us, he will give us more than we can handle. The material blessings are given for us to enjoy, but the true blessing is the fellowship with him. The material stuff that we all have, well, it'll all stay here, but God has blessed us so well that he wants us to enjoy them. But he also says in Deuteronomy, if I give you all these things, I don't want you to forget from where they came from. I don't want you to forget that it's God that blesses us. It's not what we do. Yes, he's given us brains. He's given us the smarts to do a lot of things. But the blessings come from him. Peter, James, and John were his main leaders as the disciples. They had that open door with Jesus. They had that open door, and Jesus revealed himself and his glory to them. Why didn't he do that to all his disciples? Well, he had these three disciples. They were his main characters, as you could say. And he revealed things to them because they were close to him. In Matthew chapter 17, Matthew 17, verses 1 to 8, Matthew 17, 1 to 8, it says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." These three disciples, they were with Jesus, and Jesus took them up onto the high mountain to see who Jesus really was, because they were open to his teaching. And he wanted to show them firsthand the blessings of what was to come. He showed him their glory. He showed him his glory. He showed him Moses and Elias. Now, why would he show them those two men? Well, Moses was the fulfillment of the law. He was the one that brought the law to the people. Elias was the one that he was the prophet that prophesied Jesus Christ. He was part of that. But he showed him the glory. Why? Because they were open to him. They were hungry for his word. It tells us in Scripture we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness, after the word of God. How is our appetite for God's word? Are we starving? Are we feeding our appetite? I almost guarantee you, every one of us, when we leave this place, we're going to go sit around a table and we're going to fill our bellies. Why? Because we're hungry. How hungry is your soul for the Word of God? Are we alive spiritually? Are we playing the game of Christianity, or are we living Christianity? Is Christ real to us? He wants us to worship him, not just Sunday morning, but every day, every minute of our life. Our life is supposed to be a worship towards him. He wants us to obey his word. Why? Did he put all those commandments or all these things in Scripture just because he needed to have the power and the authority? No. If you really study the commands of God, maybe not even just the commandments, the Ten Commandments, but all the things in the New Testament, why are they there? Why does it say, do not commit adultery? Why does it say, stay away from fornication? Why does it say all these different things? Is it for his good? No, it's for our good. It's to protect us. Just like you fathers that protected your children when they were small and they were not to run onto the street, you protected them because of their life. You didn't want them to get hurt. And that's the same way with our God. He has given this book to protect us. From who? From Satan. From ourselves. He wants us to do what? He wants us to follow him like we wanted our children to follow our instruction. In John chapter 17, verses 19 to 24, Jesus prays. He prayed for his disciples, and he's praying for us today. John 17, 19 to 24. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, this is Jesus talking, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And what is sanctification? Sanctification is cleansing, to set apart, to be different than what the world has to offer. To have a life that we can have peace and joy in our hearts when the world falls down around us. He says, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. Jesus Christ was in this world, but he was not of this world. And the same with us. We are Christ followers, the ones that have that open door policy. We're Christ followers in this world. We represent Christ. He says, for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Do you know the responsibility you have as a believer in Christ? How you live life? I'll read that verse again. And pay very close attention. This is our responsibility. Neither pray I for these alone, not just for his disciples, but for them also which shall believe on me, on Jesus, through their word. So who are his disciples today? The born-again believers. They are his representatives. So as we live our life and people follow us, how is that bringing them to Christ? And the glory which thou hast gavest me, I have given them, and they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. This morning at the 9 o'clock service, we heard lots about how we are to love one another and how we are to love our families. Just as Christ loved us. How much did Christ love us? He gave his son. He gave himself on the cross. Do we have that type of love within us? Are we united in that love? Just because it says we are to be one doesn't say we all have to be thinking the same, but we are to have the same motive and motivation to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then verse 24 says, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. That's the benefit of having that open door policy, that he can come in and he can clean out all the garbage in our life and he can make us who he has created us to be in the first place. And then we will be with him where he is. That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He prayed for us all. In verse 11 of that same chapter, he prayed for oneness. He says, Now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and he's talking about us here, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. That we believe and serve and honor Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. We don't just say he's our Lord and Savior, but we live as he is our Lord and Savior. Verse 15, he prays for our protection. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from evil. Protection, just like we protected our children. 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus' desire was for his disciples to be unified as a powerful witness of God's love and grace. And he wants us as Christians to be unified as a witness of God's love and grace. Are we as a church unified? Do we all believe the same thing? Do we believe that Jesus Christ died for each one of you that are sitting in the pews here this morning? And he rose for you too. He forgave all your sins. He did that all for you, if you want to accept it or not, but he did it anyway. That's love. He had no guarantee that any one of us or anybody in the world would accept that gift, but he still went to that cross. Now, that if that isn't love, then I don't know what love is. But do we realize the price that he cost him? Do we realize what he expects of us as a church body, as believers in Jesus Christ? That we are to live Christ. Not just say we believe on him, but actually live it. How can we do life as a Christian? How do we live life as a Christian? How do we model Christ? If we have opened our door and we have walked through his open door. Are we like this with Christ? Or are we like this with Christ? He's here, I'm here. Every once in a while, I'll tap in and come back out. Is that us? Or do we spend quality time with Jesus Christ in his word or in prayer or in meditation? I'm not saying we have to quit all our jobs and we just have to study God's word. You know, we have devotion books. They're available. They're called Beside the Still Waters, and there's others' devotion books. And the devotions are always getting shorter. 1 minute devotions, half a minute devotions, 5 minute devotions, because we're all very busy. We don't have time for God's word. But yet, there's 24 hours in a day. If you work 10 hours a day and you sleep 8 hours a day, that's 18. Where's the other six? What are we doing with those 6 hours? Are we taking any of those 6 hours and are we using it for God? Or are we filling our own desires, trying to make us happy like the world wants us to be? Just for the moment. We need to spend time in prayer for ourselves, for our families, for one another, instead of gossiping about people that are living wrong. We need to encourage one another. We need to work together with one another. We need to give time and money to help the church grow spiritually and physically. We need to lift up Christ and stand firm on Jesus Christ. Are we standing firm on Jesus Christ? In John chapter 15, 1-5, it says, I am the true vine. This is Jesus Christ talking, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. I am the vine. He is the door. If we don't walk through that door, we don't have any part of him. If we don't open our door, we don't have any part of him. How wide is our door open? How much time do we spend with Jesus Christ? He wants us to live for him. He wants our life to show who he is. Each one of us that has been baptized has answered the question has answered yes to the question that we want to build the kingdom of God. And that doesn't mean we just have to do that on a Sunday morning in church. In fact, it means that we are to do that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Wherever we are, Jesus Christ should be seen in our lives and heard in our lives. Is our door open to this? Or are we just opening it just a little bit? Just to get a little taste of it? Or are we opening it up and giving him full access to everything that he wants to bless us with? Can you imagine going into the credit union tomorrow morning and the manager of the credit union would take you and bring you in front of the vault, and he would say, I'm going to open this vault. I'm going to give you full access to everything in the vault. How hard would you work to get all the treasures out of there? That's what God wants to do. He wants to open the door. And he wants us to open the door too, so that he can have full access, so we can have all the benefits that he has for us. Before we go over to the second portion, I want to give each one of you the opportunity to go and speak to our Father in heaven. So for those of us who are able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take our blue hymnals and turn to page 166, The Love of God. That's page 166. Next time, please.
So what awaits those that abide with him and keep an open door policy? If we turn to Psalm 91, it reads this way: "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in the darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at the noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and otter, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." This is what awaits us, the ones who have that open door policy, that have been born again. It is an encouraging psalm that he has written. How encouraging it is that we can have that total peace and comfort, knowing that God is protecting us totally in all aspects of life. In Isaiah chapter 25, verse 4, he says, "For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall." That's who our God is. That's who he says he is when we walk through the door. That he is a strength to the poor. He tells us in Scripture that he gives us everything that we need. Not what we want, but what we need. A strength to the needy in his distress. A refuge from the storm. How many storms of life have you and I gone through? And we've always come out better than we were before. Why? Because of the strength of God. A shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. He's always there. He has never let us down. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 10, 1 Timothy 4, 10, he says, "For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe." There's benefits of opening our doors. And there's consequences of keeping our doors shut and locked. And there's also consequences of only opening it partially, of trying to hide things from our God. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. He says, "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." How does God help in temptations? If we are a child of God, he helps us recognize people and situations where we are weak. He helps us recognize it. That's what we have a conscience for. He helps us to run from what we know is wrong. He helps us to choose to do what is right. The strength of God. If we pray daily for God's discernment and strength, he will give it. He says in James that if we need wisdom, we need to pray for it. He doesn't just give us all these benefits. He doesn't just throw them into our lap and say, here, use it. He says, call upon me. Seek me. Find me. And I will give it. He wants us to live and be accountable to one another and to God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18, 2 Timothy 4, verse 18, he says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. He wants to be in our presence at all time. And he wants us to be in his presence at all time. How often do we fear things in our lives? And I often wonder why we have fear when we're a child of God. And I've come to the conclusion that's just who we are. But he tells us in our text in Psalm 91, verses 5 and 6, it says, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He says, don't be afraid. Why does he say that? If we turn to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6, he says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. If we have trust in our God, should we have fear? Is it wrong to have fear? Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. Isaiah 12, verse 2, it says, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation. If I look at myself when I'm afraid of doing things or going places, I sometimes think I'm thinking too much of myself, on my own strength. How much trust do we put in our God? In verses 9 and 10 of our text here, it says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Is our habitation in the Lord? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. In 11 and 12, he talks about the angels. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. We have often heard about angels protecting. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 28, Daniel 3, 28, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God. How the angels protected them when they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And those angels are still around today to help us in our time of need. In Isaiah 46, verse 4, Isaiah 46, 4, "And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and I and will deliver you." We have all ages here this morning. Even in your old age. And how often when we visit older people, they tell stories of how God has carried them through. And how God is still by their side, helping them ward off Satan. My dad, when he was lying in his bed on his last days, he said, "Satan has no," and he said it in German, "Hat keine Scham," he has no shame. He's still trying to tempt me. But he said, "God is more powerful." He trusted in his God to ward off Satan. And how he prevailed, he has often talked about. This is the God that wants us to walk through his door. And he wants us to open our door to him so he can give us all these benefits, these blessings, like we read in Malachi chapter 3. In Luke chapter 10, verse 19, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you." Do you believe that you have already won the victory because you are a born-again believer? And if you hold on to Jesus Christ, and if things get very tough, you hold on with both hands, that you are a victor over Satan and death? Do we believe that? But if we let go because it gets too hard, then we lose it. But if we hold on, God says, "I will give you the strength and I will give you the wisdom to prevail. Just don't let go." How hard do you think it was for Jesus Christ when he was walking down the path after he had been beaten and scourged and he was to carry his cross and he couldn't? But he still had to watch as somebody else carried, as Simeon carried the cross for him to where he was going to be laid on that cross and nailed to it. How hard do you think it was for him? Do you believe that maybe Satan said, "You know what, Jesus? Just give up. It'll be so much easier. Just give up. Just don't do it." Doesn't tell us that Satan did that, but I believe Satan was probably poking at him all the time. And Jesus just held on a little more and said, "God knows best." That's who we are. God still knows best. He still has this place ready for us when we are ready to go home. God's love to us and ours and our and to us and ours who we, he has blessed us with, to him we should show our love to him. Why? Because he first loved us, remember? He said we love him because he first loved us. He first gave us his son as a redeemer. And then he said, "If you want to accept that gift, here it is. Just take it. But then show my love through yourself. In 1 John 4, verse 9, he says, here it is. I loved you first. Now you love me. In Daniel chapter 12, verse 3, Daniel 12, verse 3, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. That's supposed to be our life. We are to shine in a dark world. In Matthew chapter 5, he says, you are the light. Are we shining for Christ? In John chapter 12, verse 26, John 12, 26, if any man serve me, are we here to serve or are we here to being served? It says, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Those are Jesus' words. We are to serve him. And then he says, if we serve him, then God the Father will honor us as his children. And then when we come to the pearly gates, like is often talked about, and we stand at the door, and God opens the door, and Jesus is standing beside him, and he can say, oh yeah, I know this guy. I know this lady. I died for them. And they took that gift, and they lived for me. And they represented me. Did they make mistakes? Absolutely they did. Did they sin? Yes, they did. But I bled and died for them. And now I'm going to usher you into what I have prepared for you. In John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That door is open. How wide is your door open? Is your door open so that God has full access to your life? Or are we keeping a few doors closed? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you at the end of this service, and we pray that you will bless each one that has come. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your love. We thank you that the door that you have opened is available to all, young and old. We praise you for your love towards us, that you are willing to go to that cross and to die on the cross for our sins, which we couldn't pay, and that you are willing to take it all upon yourself so that we can have life and we can have an abundant life as you have promised us. If we will walk through that door and open our door and live for you, not just by word, but by action. We praise you for who you are and what you have done. And we pray for each one that is gathered here this morning, that each one will take inventory and look into their heart to see that the doors are all open. And if there's anyone here this morning that the doors are still locked, may you keep knocking so that one day they too can receive the benefit of an open door policy. We praise you and we honor you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Before we go on bended knee, I have a prayer request here. It says, we, Helen, our children, and the Wall family want to thank everyone for their prayers. Abe had a liver transplant on June 25th in Toronto. He is still there, and according to the doctors, he will be there for weeks to come. There has been and still are complications. We humbly ask that you continue to pray. May God's will be done. God bless. So for that and anything else that is upon your heart, for those of us that are able, let's kneel and pray in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's take your blue hymnal and turn to 118. Tis the blessed hour of prayer. 118.
Tis the blessed hour of prayer, when our hearts slowly bend, and we gather to Jesus, our Savior and friend. If we come to Him in faith, His protection to share, what a balm for the weary. Oh, how sweet to be there.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Ken, for your message this morning. I just have a few updates on the prayer requests that I've asked for in the past. The power of prayer is amazing. We visited Catherine Friesen last week, and as you can read in the bulletin here, she was very thankful. She said the prayers had been felt. So the power of prayer and the power of God is amazing. And she's very thankful for the visitors that she had. And just an update, she's home now, so she's doing much better. So just keep praying for her. And also, Jake Wolf, he's one of our church members here. Jake Wolf has been diagnosed with leukemia, and he's also asking for prayer support. And the last I heard, he was still in the hospital. I'm not sure if he's still there today, but he's asking for prayer as well. So your prayers are not in vain. They're helping people, they're lifting people up. Then there's Catherine Friesen. She had hip surgery. This is a different Catherine Friesen. She's also at home now and recovering from her surgery. And she's also asking for prayers. So keep her in your prayers as well. And then lastly, there's Anna Giesbrecht. She's been diagnosed with cancer. And we have many of her children here that are church family. John and Suzanne Cron, Pete and Agatha Wall, Henry and Anna Cron, Abe and Evelyn Ham. These are all children of her, and they're all asking for prayers. So let's, as a church family, remember these people and lift them up in prayer that the Lord's will be done and that they'll be comforted through these hard times. Thank you.
Thank you, Henry. You know, when you read in the paper about these pride parades and stuff that was going on in Morden and different areas, and the leaders of those movements, they say, we are going to push our agenda until the churches accept it. I think it's time we push our agenda a little harder. This is the truth, and we need to stand on it, and we need to live it so people can see Jesus Christ. I have nothing more to share with you this morning but to thank you for coming. Thank you for your prayer support. So let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace from now and forevermore. Amen. And you may go in peace with the Lord.